Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. We are in the midst, part two of a series today called Praise Forward. And at Highway, moving forward is our mantra. We are moving forward. The past is behind us. The only direction we go is forward. And you will find that that's the direction the Father goes. He's always leading us higher. He's always leading us forward. And we say praise forward because praise is really the ticket to traveling on this highway. Praise, if you want to consistently move forward in all that the Father has purposed for you, it is an attitude of praise that will facilitate that. And we talked last week, and boy, you know, I just listened to it yesterday. I wanted to hear it again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to text everybody, say, listen to this again, because the Holy Spirit was really saying some stuff.
Yeah.
And it just ministered to me,
good,
the Spirit of God. And that's what's wonderful.
Yes.
Because this is not about me or you.
No.
It's about the Spirit the of God Spirit ministering of God. To us.
Hallelujah.
That's what the fivefold ministry does. That's our role, is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Christ, and let him flow through us to equip you and strengthen you in your relationship with God so that you can do the things God's called you to do, mm-hmm, the work of the ministry,
oh, yes,
for the kingdom of God.
Oh, yes.
So the Holy Spirit was ministering to me, so please listen to last week's message, part one of Praise Forward. But we're talking about praise, and I like de-religifying words, because,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
boy, have we religified words in the Bible and, mm-hmm, Jesus, and we don't want to do that. We want to take the goggles off, the headphones off. We want to know Jesus as he is. We want to remove the barriers, the, mm-hmm, distorted images of him. Well, this word praise is a very powerful word, and it literally means to set a price on, to value, to appraise. And that's what we're talking about, is to set a value on Jesus that is higher than anyone or anything else. In other words, I decide that he is more valuable to me than anyone in my life and anything in my life. I decide that he is the most valuable one, the most high one in my life. And that is the attitude that will move you forward in his plan for your life, because that will calibrate and recalibrate your heart, is when you value him above all else. It's like everything starts to align inside of us when we choose to exalt him above everything else. It's what we were made for. And now, if you haven't done that yet, things aren't going to be aligned inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know if you haven't done that, because you'll be frustrated. You can be offended. You'll be confused. When you're trying to live life with other things that are competing with Christ's value in your life,
That's good.
Forget about it.
You say de-religify, mm-hmm, earlier, and this word praise, we tend to reserve it for church or
right,
religion or something like
right,
that. But we're praising every day, it's what we do. We value and appraise. So I like that you break that down and realize, just like we experienced in worship just a little while back, everything else just kind of drops when we value God above everything else, when we value Jesus above everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing it. It's not strange. Mm-hmm. We're mm-hmm, praising every day of the week, someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we might not be verbal about it, or we might be verbal, mm-hmm, about it, but the way we show our value to things, we're doing that every day. Let's just switch it over and value God
above
everything
else. You know how I show value in my life? I take a bite of it.
Okay.
There was a chocolate chip cookie on the counter.
Uh-huh.
And I decided that was valuable to me.
Yes.
And I took a bite
and
out of it.
Took
and I
some
ate
action
the whole thing.
On it, huh?
Take a bite of Jesus. Taste and action. See how good he is. I'm talking to you. Be
true.
Real with it. When you value something, you want to partake of it.
Yeah.
You want to grab a hold of it. You want it to be in your life. You want to taste it. You want to feel it. You want to experience it. Do that with Jesus. He's better than any dessert you've ever eaten. He's better than any drink you've ever had. He's better than any friendship you've ever had. And you, all you've got to do is choose to value him in that way. And then take a big bite of him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Say, Jesus, I want you. And you begin to believe in who he is and what he did for you through his resurrection. And you get into the word of God and eat it like the best batch of homemade cookies you've ever eaten. I want to talk about someone. Now, can we stay de-religified today? Can we do that?
Try.
I'm going to talk about someone in the Bible, but don't religify
them. If you catch yourself going that
way. Watch it
now.
We need a, remember the de-religification spray we have at Highway? We got to make that available on Amazon.
That's true.
We're going to open it up now. Shake a can. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to talk about someone. Now, don't get religious on me. We're going to talk about a guy in the Bible whose name was Abram.
Okay.
And it was changed to Abraham by God.
Yes.
Because I want to look at praise in his life. All right? Now, don't get religious with me. We're talking about a guy that's like you and me. He lived a while ago. But let me tell you something. It is a myth that people are different wherever you go.
It is.
I forget how many countries I've been to, but I've been to a lot of them.
Yeah.
And one thing that I have found is people are people wherever you go. Yeah, the food's different. Yeah, the culture might be different, music different, clothing. But when you start talking with them, same.
People's is people.
People's is people's. Uh-huh. That's from the Muppet movie, right? Muppets Take Manhattan. That was the owner
people's
of the diner.
Is people's.
And he gave Kermit some good advice.
That's right.
People's is people's.
That's right.
That's good. So understand that when you're reading the Bible, people's is people's.
That's right.
You're a people. Abraham's a people. And we can learn a lot from this guy. He's actually referred to in the New Testament as the father of our faith. Mm-hmm. Lived 430 years. That's over four centuries before the law.
Mm-hmm.
You got that. Most people lump everything prior to Matthew under the law. Not true. The law is actually the minority of time of human existence. Just about 1,500 years out of 6,000. There's about 2,500 years of human history before the Ten Commandments. Very important
and
to understand.
And you say that because
it's important.
Thinking on the commandments is the religious.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why you're relating.
Yeah,
this
absolutely. So I'm saying here's a man, here's a people's.
Yeah, a people's.
That had no Ten Commandments. There was no tabernacle. He had no religious structure as far as the true God was concerned.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, look what happened in Genesis chapter 12 in the Bible. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. God's going to call this man, okay? Now, the Lord had said to Abram, that was his name at the time, get out of your country. What? From your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, wait a minute. We're going to see. Well, let's read it, then we'll talk about it. Verse 2. I will make you, he's talking to one man, a great nation. I, this is God talking, will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because the Messiah was going to come through him. Mm-hmm. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Just a guy like you and me. No Ten Commandments, no Levitical priesthood, no Mosaic covenant. Just a guy. God speaks to him. He grabs a hold of it. He takes a bite out of it. He acts on it.
Yeah.
He departs from everything he was familiar with. everything he was familiar with. How old was he? Well, we're going to see. Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, let's get a picture of this guy. Actually, his father, Terah, worshipped other gods. Mm-hmm. He was living in the city of Ur, Ur of the Chaldeans.
Yes.
Their god was the god of the moon. Abram grew up for 75 years in the midst of his father worshiping other gods. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want you to get a picture of this. He wasn't a goody-two Christian.
No.
Goody-two-shoe. This is real life, guys. He grew up in the midst of pagan culture, worshiping other gods, and quite often with worshiping of other gods went all kinds of sacrifices, even human sacrifices.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Demonic things.
Yes.
This was Abram's, I'm not going to call him Abraham, culture. Very important to understand that. Here's a guy in the midst of that for 75 mm-hmm. years. Not a week, not a few years, 75 years. Now, we can learn a lot about him because listen to me, you have to, how he responded to God reveals to us his previous thought life. In the midst of this pagan culture, he realized something was very wrong. And in his own heart, he began to seek and desire to know not the moon, not the God of the moon, but the true and living God who put the moon in its place.
That's good.
And you'll know this, and you understand these things because how a person responds to God, like the centurion last week in Matthew right. chapter 8, that wasn't the first time he thought about him. Mm-mm. Oh, no. You begin to build this foundation in your thought life of who God is. You begin to believe that he is good, mm-hmm. that he made the heavens and the earth. You begin to believe that somehow he cares for you, and you begin to desire to know him. And this was happening in Abram's heart in the midst of this pagan worship. Mm-hmm. His own dad, his own family. That's why God says, get out of there. I want you to know me, and I don't want you to be involved in this anymore.
You know what? The very little that I know about other religions or pagan worship, mm-hmm. it says very repetitive that yeah, you have to
absolutely.
Do this ceremony.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And next week you'll have to do that ceremony again, you
yep.
know. And imagine God coming in and just breaking in to that scene for
yep.
sure.
Yep.
It's going to feel very different.
Here's some more insight into Abram's heart, Abraham's heart. You ready? So here's this guy, been in the midst of his own family, his own dad. His family is worshiping a demonic entity, and he begins to desire to know the true and living God. And he may have begun to desire that, I don't know, maybe in his 60s, I don't know, maybe in his early 70s, I don't know how long. But we get insight into his heart in Genesis 18, verse 19. God says of Abraham, he says, I know him.
Yeah.
That reveals Abraham's been doing some praying. Mm-hmm. to the true and living God. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God had seen Abraham's heart mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in Abraham's life. Don't you know the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for hearts that are pursuing him, that belong to him, that desire him? And he found one in Abram. And boy, does he respond to that. It doesn't matter what that heart might be in the midst of the craziest situation, but God will come in. Jennifer, I just saw our lampshade. It's really crooked over there. Could you fix that?
I think it got bumped.
Did it get bumped? Yeah, it got okay. bumped. Can you fix our lampshade?
Yes, I'll fix the lampshade.
That's much better. Now we can continue. Okay.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, he will pierce through any level of darkness to show himself to you. If you'll just give him your heart, desire him.
That's what I'm saying about the repetitive nature of anything else you do. If you don't do this ceremony, if you don't burn this incense, if you don't say this mantra, if you don't do this, your status is questionable or whatever. But you do this stuff repeatedly and devotedly, and yet what is the result? You know, so you're still, your heart is searching.
Yeah, confusion.
Still your heart is searching.
Big question marks.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So that makes, that's really good to open it up like that. I like that.
Let's get some more insight into this man's heart. See, the heart's where it's at, guys.
Yeah.
Life is in here. It's not here. Okay. It's all in here. It's what you're doing within here that will either move you forward or keep you stuck. Let's get some more insight into Abram's heart. So Hebrews 11, New Testament revelation here of Abraham, and Romans talks about him. We're going to get there in a moment. It says, by faith. Mm-hmm. What's faith? Being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see.
Mm-hmm.
He saw pagan worship all around him. His own dad was promoting it. I read some Jewish writings that spoke of his dad having a store for idols, selling
them. That's right.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went. I like that.
Took action. Mm-hmm.
Faith. What is he believing? That God loves him.
Yes.
That God is better.
Yeah.
That God is greater.
Yeah.
And he went out not knowing where he was going. Oh, boy. I'm just telling you, this is... been my life since 1985 when I started calling out to him. Didn't know him, but I just desired to know him. And I already had a plan for my life. I had some potential connections, some promising things going on. And I just said, I want you, God. I just gave up where I thought I should go. I gave up. And in my home, there wasn't... there wasn't any kind of knowledge of Christ. I knew I couldn't stay there. And where I was planning on going and the connections that I had, I just said, you know what? I want to know you. And I began to follow him, and I didn't know where I was going, and I still don't today.
Mm-hmm.
Ah! I'll go wherever he calls.
But it's the most sure future.
It is the most sure decision you can ever make.
Absolutely.
Is to follow him. Forget about demographics. Forget about job opportunities. Forget about the culture. Forget about the geographical location. And say, Father, where you lead, I'll follow. This is what he's looking for. This is a heart given to him.
Yeah.
By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Wow. Heirs who are also, those were his son, grandson, of the same promise. Now, look at verse 10. For he looked for, this is what was in his heart. What was he looking for? A city which had foundations whose builder and maker is God.
Yes.
This is what I was looking for in 1985.
Yes.
A life that was built by God.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I saw all kinds of examples of lives that weren't built by God. I wanted my life to be a life that was built by him. I wanted God to be the architect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad.
Yes.
I'm so glad that he is. I want to read that out of the Message translation. We'll start in 8. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place. How are you going to do that without faith? Right?
You're not.
To an unknown place that would become his home.
That's good.
When he left, He had no idea where he was going. Love it. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger, camping in tents. I'm going to go to verse 10. Abraham did it by keeping his eye, he's talking about his heart, right? The focus of his attention, on an unseen city. He kept his heart trusting in God. He couldn't see. Base his faith on what was going on around him. He had his heart set on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. Let me read out of the Passion Translation. And leave the familiar, this is verse 8, and he left the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. He left the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. Listen, you've got to let go of what's familiar to you. Let go of your preferences and make pleasing Jesus your preference in life. If you want to discover what the divine plan that God has for your life, let go of the familiar. Let go of what you used to cherish and make Jesus the one you're cherishing. If you've ever heard me, hear me now. God has a divine purpose for your life, but you won't enjoy that and experience that if anything else is competing in your life with Him. I love how the Passion says that. He left the familiar to discover what God had destined for him. Man, that's so good. So good. With only a promise, that's all he had.
I love that.
He had no other reason to leave what he was familiar with. All he had was a word from God. Sounds like the centurion, Matthew chapter 8. You need to know is what God has said. That's it. Once you have what he said, you have everything. We're talking about real relationship now. God has spoken to me. How do you know? He did. The Holy Spirit bears witness in my heart. I know. All you need to know is God has said, with only a promise and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going, he stepped out in faith. His eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations whose architect and builder is God himself. I'm calling you, Highway family, to hear his voice, to bow, to exalt him, to praise him, appraise him above all else, and say, Father, what have you made me for? What have you divinely determined for me? Show me. And keep your eyes on him. Keep your attention on him. And then as you're going through your day, just be listening. And it may not happen in a moment. It may, I don't know. But sometimes we have to declog some stuff inside.
Absolutely.
Because we've been so... thinking of so many things and stressed about this and offended by that and carrying weights from the past. And you know, it's like when you begin to praise him, it just declutters your heart. It's like my friend, there's a friend here in Oklahoma called Mr. Murph.
Yes.
You can bring all your cardboard to him and he just eats it.
It's a place where
it's not a person, but that's the name of the company where you can take all your unused cardboard. I love it. That's what praise, that all that unnecessary stuff that you don't need in your garage, in your heart, in your home, heart.
It reminds me of Romans 12.
Praise. It says, we'll remove it.
Don't be conformed, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But be transformed. Yeah.
Now let me show you how praise propelled Abraham forward into God's plan. All right? And we're going to see it in Romans chapter 4. You can't understand the Old Testament apart from Christ.
No.
You can't understand the Old Testament apart from the New Testament. No way. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead. That's impossible. God does these things on a regular basis. It's who he is. He calls into being that which does not exist. That's why all you need is to know what God has said. Everything else will be taken care of. In hope against hope, there's a natural hope, like, gee whiz, I hope it happens. Mm-hmm. And then there's Bible hope. Mm-hmm. Steadfast, confident expectation. Mm-hmm. So in confident expectation against natural hope, he believed in order that he might become what God had called him to be, mm-hmm. a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken to him, so shall your descendants be. Now look at verse 19 and 20. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So his wife was barren. What's the promise God gave to him? Well, first of all, the Messiah was to come through him, and he was to have a son. But his wife was barren. And now he's 100 years old. His wife is beyond the age of childbearing. Yet with respect to the promise of God, maybe that's why he left. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's in his heart this whole time? The promise of God. You've got to keep the promises of God in your heart all the time. Don't let anything tamper with them. Don't let anything taint them. Don't let anything dilute them. Don't let anything hinder them. You keep the promises of God in your heart. You keep them in your mind. You stand on them. You sing about them. You shout about them. You talk about them. You worship with them.
That's a valuable word right there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. With respect to the promise of God, so forget the age of his body, forget the barrenness of his wife, forget their circumstances, 75 years of worshiping demons. Without all those things aside, he kept the promise of God in his heart, and because of that, he didn't waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith. How? Praising God. Giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what he had promised, God was able also to perform. Now let me read that out of the Amplified. It helps us get a better picture. You ready? Verse 20 and 21. No unbelief or distrust made him waver. That's what unbelief wants you to do. It wants you to question and waver what God has said to you. Isn't that what Satan did to the very first man and woman?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wants to get you to question the reliability and goodness of God in your life. Did God really say that? I mean, can God really do that? I mean, your wife's barren. This disease, your grandma had it. I mean, can God really set you free and from that addiction of drugs? Whatever.
And this is very prevalent today, where people take pride or think it's noble to ask all these questions, and it's taken people away from the truth, mm-hmm. and they think it's noble, or they think it's a good path to be questioning these things, and yet they find themselves away from the mm-hmm. promises and living life just like anyone else. Yeah. But the Bible says that we partake in the divine nature of God through these promises.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, that's to right. question them is not going to give you access, because yep. the Bible tells us these that's promises right. of God that's are the right. access into the divine nature. And so, don't just give that up. If you're of the inclination to ask a lot of questions and be of a doubting nature, you know what? You can just decide to have faith. That's a beautiful thing about faith.
Absolutely.
You
could just, you all could just I need say, to know is what he said.
You know what?
That's
I'm
all I need
choosing
to, know.
To believe
that's all I
God
need to know.
Today.
Yeah.
You know, and boom, I'm choosing to believe God today. And then boom, you're on a new track.
That's so good. And you know, and I get that. And I've done diligent research of philosophies and the scriptures and how they were put together and all the different religions of the world. And I get all that. But it's going to come to a point in your life when you've got to say, do I believe what God has said?
That's the bottom.
That's it.
That's it. It all
comes down to that.
Yeah.
Do I believe what God has said?
It's the moment of when you take action too, like you said, that cookie. You saw that cookie. It's when you finally decide, you know what? I'm going to have that.
That's right. That's right.
And then you take action on it. So
I'm going to know God.
You know, these promises won't come to pass in your life. They won't take effect in your life until you make that choice to believe that God's word. And that's this valuation. That's this appraising.
Praise.
This is this praise that you're talking about.
That's what we're talking
about.
That
moment when you say, this is it. This is worth it.
I praise you. Because you are God and your word is 100% reliable
all the time. Come on.
So I lift you up in my heart. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning what? The promise of God.
That's right.
That's the only sure thing there is what God has said. There's nothing else is sure. But he grew strong. Here it is laid out for us. Describing the inner workings of Abraham's heart. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God.
Yeah. That's so
and
good.
This is what will happen in you. Forget the question marks. Just take God at his word. Father, I've read in your word that your son, you love me so much that you gave your son for me, and that I'm going to perish, that I would have eternal life. Jesus, I've read in your word that you came. It's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I take you at your word, and I begin to praise you that is now my reality. Mm-hmm. And you begin to praise him more. Thank you, Father, that every promise you've made is yes and amen in my life. Thank you, Father, that you put my sins on your son. You made him sin for me. You put my sicknesses and diseases on him, and that by his stripes, I am now healed. Thank you, Father, for this. And you live in that. Mm-hmm. You worship him for those things. You're not asking him to do anything because it's already done. You're thanking and praising him for who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are now in him. He grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised.
That's it.
You know, it doesn't matter where we live. The only thing matters is that we live where we live because of his leading in our lives.
Right, right, right.
I'll go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I really don't care. Mm-hmm. I want to live where the word has led me to live, where God has directed me to live.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's what brought us here to the center of the country. Mm-hmm. The Lord began to move in our hearts and to reposition ourselves in the center of the country. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't even know. We bought our home. I really didn't even know what city it was in. Mm-mm. I just called it Tulsa, but it wasn't in Tulsa. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't care. I didn't care what city limits were. I didn't care what the town regulations were. I didn't care, you know, what the systems were. I just, okay, Lord, led us to that house. Mm-hmm. Lord, led us to that place. What's it called? I don't know.
But
we bought the house.
We did. And when we got here, then we uncovered and realized so many perfect provisions.
But you got to keep your heart fixed.
Yeah.
Got to keep your heart fixed on him.
Yeah.
Because you can turn around and go back.
This is key. This is key, keeping that focus.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
This is key.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. It's mm-hmm. so good. It's so good. Listen, this is not like a one-time thing. This is how we live. We live in him. In him we live and move and have our being. So his promises are priceless to us. They are the currency. This is how we operate in life.
The just shall live.
The just shall live by what he said.
That's right.
Yeah. And you know, faith is not our objective. Knowing what he said is our objective.
Right.
And faith comes. You know,
God's, that's what you just said in 21. It says that he was satisfied and assured that God was able to keep his word.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And to do what he had promised.
Absolutely.
So it is. It's that once the revelation of who God is becomes more real to you and you're convinced of God's nature more than anything else, then faith naturally comes.
It naturally comes.
And that's how we live.
Yeah. It's just like you were saying earlier. You come into someone's home who you really know well.
Yeah.
There's no pretense.
No.
There's no set protocol. Come in, kick off your shoes, drop on the couch.
Them, they know me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Head to the fridge. You want to get to know God without pretense, mm-hmm. without religion standing in your way, mm-hmm. so that you can just run up in his lap, sit down, worship him, and let him minister life to you. Let him reveal to you who he created you
to
be.
This is good.
This is very good. I mean, this guy is amazing. And I want you to notice something. Now, did Abram make some mistakes in his life?
Yes, he did.
Did he sin?
Yes, he did.
Well, why doesn't it talk about that in Romans? The Bible says that Abraham believed God. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And?
And because of that, God credited to him his righteousness.
Right.
So you won't find record of the faults of Abraham in the New Testament. When you believe God, he takes care of it. He gives you his righteousness, and he works things out for your good. I don't know how he does it, but he's greater than the greatest mistakes you've ever made. So the question is not, did I make mistakes? Did I sin? The question is yes. Yeah, well, that's an easy question. Yeah, we can answer that one. Yeah, I did, you did, we all did, right? The real issue is, do you believe that he's greater than your sin?
There you go.
Do you believe that he's greater than your mistakes and your faults? Do you believe that what he has for you is infinitely better than anything you could build yourself? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I really have learned a lot from this guy, this people.
Absolutely. This people.
Abraham. Mm-hmm. He's the father of our faith.
Yes,
why?
Is.
Why is the father of our faith not Moses and the Ten Commandments? Because that was not God's intent. That was not what God had for his people to have to read a stone to know what to do. He had to give his people the law because their hearts were so hard and they just couldn't see straight. And he had to point them to how holy and true he is and point them. The law was to point them to Christ. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a temporary measure to rescue them from their hard hearts. That's all it was. And it was in place for about 1,400, almost 1,500 years. But then Christ came, revealed the heart of God to us, became our substitute, and made it available for any human being now to go from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, to go from being separated from God to being united with God. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have to read any stones anymore. No. His love, his law, his word is now living inside of me. And it's the law of love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Love does no ill to its neighbor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you'll walk in love, Ten Commandments filled automatically.
That's right.
Automatically.
That's right.
You won't have to read any tablets.
Nope.
Walk in love. Hallelujah. It's the nature of God. So Abram, he keeps going. We're gonna take a few more minutes here. And man, he went through some stuff. There was a time when his family was captured. Mm-hmm. His possessions were taken. And he came back. He's like, what happened? And what did he do? He was a prosperous man. He was a man who had been acting on what God had said. And he went after what was stolen from him. He went after his family, and Jesus delivered him. Jesus rescued his family. Jesus rescued his possessions and more. Abraham got back all of his family, got back all of his possessions and more. And then Jesus appears to him in the book of Genesis under the name of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. I love how Jesus shows up all throughout the Bible.
A high priest, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had no genealogy, this Melchizedek.
Nobody knew where he came from.
Nobody knew where he came from. He shows up once. Love that. In the Father of Faith life. No stone tablets. He shows up, and what does Abram do? He begins to worship him. And Abraham takes 10%, the tithe, and he worships Christ with it. Ha! Ah! Mm-hmm. We're talking about worship, praising him. Hebrews talks about it in chapter 7, verse 1. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of it all. Mm-hmm. First being translated King of Righteousness, Melchizedek, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Shalom, peace, wholeness, prosperity. That's who Jesus is. He's wholeness, prosperity, well-being. Without father, talking about Melchizedek, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So Jesus appeared to Abram, and Abram responded. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Consider how great Jesus is. Isn't the Bible wonderful?
Good.
Consider how great Jesus is. It was so great that this man gave 10% of his wealth to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the father,
yes,
of our faith. Keep reading. This is New Testament, guys. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. That was under the Levitical priesthood. That's the Mosaic covenant. So we see Abraham tithing 430 years before, mm-hmm, the Mosaic covenant, before what we call the law. Mm-hmm. We see tithing during the law, and we see tithing 2.0 in the New Testament in Acts, where they brought way more than that, selling homes, properties, and bringing it into the church. Okay, so was I in verse 5? And indeed, those who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. So there was a commandment under when God revealed his nature through the Ten Commandments and through the Levitical priesthood, the commandment to tithe was there. Why? Because it's a part of worshiping him. It's not a legalistic thing.
No.
At all. It's just a part of knowing him, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, knowing him as your provider. Okay, we don't even be legalistic with this.
No.
He had a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Now look at verse 6. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, who's he talking about? Melchizedek,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come from the Levitical priesthood.
No.
He came from the tribe of
Judah. Praise.
Yeah, praise.
Praise.
Ah! Praise forward. Come on.
Judah means praise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Jesus came from. He received tithes. What? From Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Or the greater. Here, mortal men receive tithes, talking about Levitical priesthood, but there Jesus received them.
Hallelujah.
Of whom is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
I love that.
Man, oh man. It's a circle of life, isn't it? Come on out and sing it. It's a circle of life.
Okay.
Yeah. Man.
Wow.
Listen, get in this circle of life. What is it? Faith in Christ. Acting on his word. And I understand, and people wonder, like, should I tithe as a New Testament Christian? Should I give offerings? Well, it is not in the New Testament. We're not under the Levitical priesthood. We're not under the law. We're now in a living relationship that's unhindered with Jesus. And out of that living relationship, yes, we tithe. Oh, yeah. It's not because we have to. It's because we're taking a bite out of him every day.
Right.
It's because we're passionately pursuing him every day. So where do we tithe? Now, here's God's ideal. Are you ready? This is what God would love to see. Again, religion has really hosed this thing up. You know that term from the 80s, hosing something up?
Okay.
He's messed it up. God would love, he gave, as Jesus ascended, he gave gifts. to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Then he calls them to do a work, and apostles, sometimes prophets, and pastors and teachers start churches, okay? And God's ideal is that there would be churches all over the place. And I'm not talking about buildings. Buildings are great, but places
now,
bodies of people, people with the Spirit of God inside them. And there's fivefold ministry gifts there that are leading that work. And the people that are called there and learning about who Jesus is, what he's done for them, who they are in him, they bring their tithes there. And they bring their offerings there. And now you can we give offerings lots of places, but we tithe in this work because this is what God's called us to, right? So that's God's ideal. You're connected. Now, in the book of Acts, we see the church began in Jerusalem. And the first, the Holy Spirit came. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. They started praising God in other languages by the power of the Spirit of God. 3,000 people got saved, and it was glorious. People started selling property, bringing the prophets into the church. And then persecution broke out against the church. And the church scattered all over the place. And there were places they could not be publicly. They were meeting in homes. And much of the New Testament, you'll find, what did they do? They didn't have the internet. What did they do? They read the letters from the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And there were fivefold ministry gifts in that home leading that group. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. And evangelists is kind of unique in that group. It really is more of a going out and bringing in kind of a gift. And this is what happening. So what would they do? So Paul would write to them, the apostles write to them, they would bring their tithes to that house where they were meeting. And they would bring their offerings in there, and then the leaders would designate that. And Paul and they would have this network going on. Yes. And the provisions of God would be transferred to his people. And that's God's plan. So God would desire you to have a place where you're learning and growing from a fivefold ministry gift, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, about who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. He really would love it if there's no religious barricades there. That's his plan, okay? So if he's, and I guarantee you he has a place like, now today we can gather in homes through the internet. We don't have to mail letters. We can literally speak to one another. I can transfer the message of God to you through the internet in your home at the same time with a few second delay.
Amazing.
Yeah. If they had the internet back then, you better believe they'd be using it, right? All they could do was send letters. Today, we're using the internet. So what do? We've got churches. We've got people. We've got groups of people listening and gathering to the word, just like in the book of Acts. But something happens when you recognize, wait a minute, this has been provided for me by God so that I can grow in the knowledge of who he is, what he's done for me, who I am in him. And then what do? You begin to praise God with your tithe. Yeah. And begin sowing into that ministry, into the church that God has provided for you. And now you're getting intimate. Now I'm getting specific with my finances. Now I'm recognizing God's provision in my life. He's provided this church for me to come, to learn and grow. And now I'm bringing the tithe into his house, and I'm worshiping with him, and I'm growing in him, and I'm interacting with him. It's always been a love thing. It's never meant to be a legal thing. I understand it was under the law, but even then it was a love thing. So we want to invite you to be like Abraham, to worship God, to act on what he said to you. Just take a bite out of him every day. Taste and see how good he is. Act. All you need to know is what he said. Listen, if Highway has been provided for you to be your church where you're growing in the knowledge of who he is, what he's done for you, who you are in him, go ahead and praise Jesus with your tithe. You can do that through our website, highwaychurch.us. highwaychurch.us/give. You can give online directly. You can text your worship. Just go to our giving page. It's all there. Active links to give online. You can give assets. You can give stocks. You can sow stocks into the ministry. You can sell a home. You can sell a car and sow it into the ministry. It's all available through our giving page, just like the book of Acts, except with technology. Love it. Yeah, you can do that. You can hit the links are live, the text link, Cash App is there. You can mail, put it in the mail, send it like old school. You can do it any way you want. But the key thing is you're doing it out of relationship right. with Him. Mm-hmm. You're recognizing, wait a minute, I am learning and growing through this church. God, you provided this for my life. I'm responding to what you've done. I'm responding to your deliverance. Mm-hmm. To you showing up in my life, and now I'm going to worship you with my tithe. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. This is praising Him. Do you know praising Him has a dollar sign attached to it?
Absolutely.
Woo!
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Anything I have is His. Now, obviously, it's mine or I couldn't give it to Him. Mm-hmm. He gives it to us. But what I mean is He can have whatever He wants.
You know, that's how we show our valuation of a thing is by our money and our time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, for anyone who says, oh, tithing, that's not New Testament, you know, you're only revealing that you don't understand the valuation of worship and what
Jesus.
What giving is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at our budget, the two things we spend the most on are Jesus and our kids.
Yes.
Easy.
What do kids need? Food.
Yeah. 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 So in other words, what you value, you'll spend money on.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So you look at our budget, number one, Jesus.
Yes.
Number two, our kids.
That's
why? Because that's what we value. So get it. Make this real in there. Tithing makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm actually taking money from my account.
That's right.
Clams.
That's so good.
That I could use for something else. And I'm going to worship God with them.
So good.
And you don't do this once. This becomes a way of living.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And boy, does it open things up. Mm-hmm, boy, mm-hmm. does it. Oh, man, what God has done in our lives.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. And the stress and worry of money vanishes.
It does.
And you begin to get so excited by watching God move
What's
in your finances.
What's he
going
to do?
God, how are you going to do that? I don't know, but you're going to do
you're
it.
You're going to do it.
Ah! Listen, we love you guys. We worship you. Let's pray. Let's worship God with our money.
Thank you, Lord.
And let's pray. Father, we
Thank
love
you,
Lord,
Father.
Lord, Melchizedek, we take a big bite out of you today. We worship you. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. And we bring the tithe to you. We recognize what you're doing in our lives through Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring you our tithe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we worship you, Jesus, for not only what you've done through this church and ministry, but what you're doing and what you're about to do. We appraise you
mm-hmm.
as more valuable than anything we ever have had or could ever have. Than anyone else in our lives. And we worship you with our tithes and offerings. Be glorified. And Lord, I thank you as the pastor of this work, the fivefold ministry gift. I thank you for what I've watched you do
mm-hmm. thank
since
you,
2014.
Thank you, Lord.
In people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you for what you've done in my life. And I thank you. I've watched you take what is given and multiply it. I have heard numerous times people saying, I've never prospered more than since I've been coming here and tithing here.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that repeatedly.
Hallelujah.
And I give you glory
thank
for that.
You, Lord. Yes.
I thank you for multiplying the money that is sown for the expansion of your kingdom and the glorious preaching of this gospel. I thank you for the buildings we need, the mm-hmm. equipment we need, the vehicles we need,
mm-hmm.
the connections we need, the things that we need to do what you've asked us to do. And I thank you for multiplying the money exponentially back to each person who has sown into this ministry for their own lives and prosperity. That's how you do it. It's the circle of life. You give seed to the sower. We are sowing and we are reaping. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.